Turn in your Bibles. We'll look at the Word of God together, and we'll look at Luke chapter 11. I used to work in the food industry, and I was qualified in food science, and had a few different jobs in the food industry. But one of the companies I worked for, and it's true of every company and every kind of system, world system, it operates on supply and demand. If you're a business person, you will operate on supply and demand. Basically, say for example, if we were making 100 loaves of bread, we would need a particular certain amount of supply. And if the demand was for 100 loaves, that's good. The supply meets the demand. But if we had 100 loaves of bread and we needed to supply 200, the demand was greater, then basically there would be a shortage. And the world, and particularly our world today, is actually in great demand with not enough supply. There are lacking of supplies, at least getting to people in the Philippines, but that's only one country that is in need. But the supply and demand for things like love and peace, the world is actually run out. Relationships and society is broken down because of a lack of peace. And there is a great demand in our world today. There are great needs. And basically the world cannot supply what it needs. It is lacking in supply to meet the demands. We've had children in need this week, but I'm sure you'll understand that even that isn't enough. It's a drop in the ocean, particularly when you think about the social needs of our children in our society today. Society is broken down in many aspects, and there are many children that suffer. There are old people who never see another person week in, week out, unless they visit their doctor. And many of them just make an appointment to see the doctor, just to see somebody during the week. And so our society is in great demand, and there isn't the supply of love, people giving. People have run out of giving in the world. And Jesus actually put a dividing line between good and bad, Satan and God. In John 10:10, he said, "The devil has come to steal, to kill, and destroy." And the world's needs are a reflection both of the sin that entered humanity through Adam and the power of the enemy at work, bringing destruction, disease, national disaster, poverty, sicknesses that are new, because there are new sicknesses arriving every day. We might conquer one and then they'll come up with another. Aren't you glad that Jesus has already died for every sickness in every generation until he comes again? So whether it's a new one or an old one, it's already dealt with. But the issue in the world is that there is an ever-increasing demand where there is no supply. And Jesus said, it's the devil that came to steal, kill, and destroy. I have come that you might have life, and life in all its fullness or abundance. So Jesus came with supplies to meet every demand. And so he said when he came, the kingdom of God is at hand, or the kingdom of heaven is at hand. It's right here with me, Jesus said. Repent, change, turn around. Repent from your sins, but also turn around from the way that you have lived and believe the good news. And the whole world is actually wanting this kingdom, even though they don't know it. Because this kingdom has no lack. This kingdom is full of plentiful. Jesus demonstrated that when he fed the multitude with such a small amount, thousands of people with leftovers. I love the God of the leftover. So in other words, you're not just going to have enough in this kingdom. There's always going to be leftovers. Everyone who came to Jesus, no matter what the disease, no matter whether it was demonic, whether it's physical, chemical, generational, whether it was passed down from granny and her granny or whatever it was, everyone who came to Jesus was healed. And so the demand of the world is fully supplied in the kingdom. In fact, if the world needs 100 loaves, the kingdom will provide 200. And so it's an issue of supply and demand. The world will always run out, but the kingdom never runs out. There's always plenty. We lack nothing in the kingdom of heaven. And so Jesus came to bring supplies. I love that thought. He didn't just come to bring a spiritual life, but of course, that is our primary need, that we're spiritually made right with God. But he came to supply every need of humanity, relationally, mentally, emotionally, physically, every part of life. He says, I've come to supply. I've come to bring supplies. And the supplies, he says, are with me and in the kingdom. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. Now, everything the world looks for is in the kingdom. Peace, protection, deliverance, wisdom for right choices. Everything the world is looking for is with Jesus and the kingdom. Is in him and his kingdom. And so the only solution Jesus has is him and his kingdom. Isn't it interesting that God didn't just send his son, he sent his son with a kingdom. Yes? And so everything you need is in the kingdom. Everything the world needs is in the kingdom. And this kingdom is invisible, but it's made visible when we change the way we think and we believe what God says. And so as soon as we readjust our lives to turning to Jesus and believing what he says, this kingdom that is invisible is made visible. So in other words, real bread will feed real people in this kingdom. The invisible will be made visible. Someone who can't have children will have children because the invisible will be made visible. Someone who doesn't have a job will have a job. Someone who doesn't have enough will have more than enough. Through this kingdom, the supply will meet the demand. So don't think shortage if you're a child of God. There is no lack. There is all needs met. Say to your neighbor, every need met in the kingdom of heaven. It's interesting, Jesus didn't say, I've come to bring half of my kingdom. He said, with me is the kingdom of heaven. In fact, he was saying, with me is heaven. And this is why it's so important for us to have a heavenly mindset so that we can actually think right about our supplies. Because unless you're thinking plenty, you're thinking like you're in the world without the kingdom, which equals lack. And so our thinking needs to be adjusted to the kingdom. And in Luke 11, Jesus teaches his disciples to pray. And what's interesting is when Jesus was praying, and I love this because Jesus himself lived a life of prayer, which meant he got supplies from heaven into the earth through prayer. So we understand from the Word of God that prayer releases or brings in the supply of heaven. So if you don't pray, you don't see the supply. But if we pray, we see supplies. I know I'm being very simple this morning, but I think it's important that we understand no prayer equals no supply. Prayer equals supplies. And we like the supplies, and God loves to supply. So Jesus, when he's praying, his disciples said, Lord, teach us to pray. And I believe that we need to be taught to pray right, because we've all got our own favorite habits that God wants to deal with so that we can pray in the way Jesus taught or teaches us to pray. Because I want results, do you? I want my prayers to work. I want to see change. I've read the Bible that Daniel changed the nation through prayer. I've read the Bible that Elijah prayed and it started to rain after 3.5 years of drought. I believe prayer changes drought. I believe prayer changes nations. And so the supply isn't lacking. Sometimes it's the way we pray. And so the disciples were, in this one moment, quite brilliant. They weren't always. But they asked a question we're really glad they asked. Because we can learn from what Jesus replied. Teach us to pray. And verse 2, he said to them, when you pray, say. Can I have the slide up, please? When you pray, say. Stop there. Have you ever been to a prayer meeting, which is a thinking prayer meeting? That was a question. Has anybody sat round in a circle and thought? Jesus said, when you pray, what does he say? What do you have to do to say something? Voice it. And Hannah voiced it, even though it was a whisper. You can whisper it, but Jesus says, when you pray, say. I actually think that that deals a death blow to a lot of tradition. Because traditional prayer has been, let's all sit and think in silence and then say amen. But Jesus said, and we want to be taught by Jesus, don't we? When you pray, say. Because there's authority in the spirit realm. The spirit realm is ruled by words, not thoughts. Situations are turned around by words, not thinking prayer. Already, you could leave this morning and change your prayer life with that one. So disciples, beloved disciples of Jesus, when you pray, say. Say something out loud. If you're in the car, walking, say it. When you pray, say it. Then Jesus goes on to say, when you pray, say, Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us each day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins. For we also forgive everyone who sins against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Just flick over to verse 9. So I say to you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be open to you. For everyone who asks, receives. How many people who ask, receive? And everyone who seeks finds, and everyone who knocks, the door will be opened to them. Which of you fathers, if your son asks for a fish, will give him a snake instead? If he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask? Say it when you pray it. Ask. Now, Jesus actually says everyone who asks gets it. So I actually think prayer is worthwhile. If it means that everyone, can we say everyone? Do you want to agree with the Bible today? Everyone who asks receives. Awesome. I want to do a whole lot more asking. Because supplies are plentiful. And so when I ask, I receive. And Jesus speaks about this loving Father who is a perfect Father. Not even as good as some of you dads are with your kids. And some of you are pretty good. He says, I'm not going to give anything that's detrimental to my kids. I'm going to give them the best. In fact, I'm going to give them me because he's the best. Because he's come to live with us. But he also gives all things. With him come all good things for life. I've come that you might have an abundant life, a full life. Now, Jesus is saying, if he prayed, that meant he got what he wanted and the invisible was made visible when he prayed. And he always prayed according to the Father's will. We know that. Jesus didn't pray anything that wasn't the will of his Father. And Jesus says everyone who prays receives. So he received things every day in prayer that actually happened as he walked around. The supply was made visible. Because when you pray, it's invisible. But then it will be made visible in the future. So Jesus wasn't praying and suddenly Bartimaeus' eyes fell in his hand. And, you know, all the bread fell on him. He received it in the invisible. And it was made visible as he walked by faith in what he had received. So everyone who asks receives. Now this prayer that Jesus teaches assumes something about us. This is what, just start with this. This prayer assumes you're a child of God or a citizen of heaven. This prayer is actually not for people who don't belong to God. This is the children of God's prayer. Okay, thank you so much. This prayer assumes that you belong to God. Now, how do we enter this kingdom? Well, the only way to enter the kingdom of heaven is through the new birth. You cannot enter the kingdom unless you are born again. And through faith in Jesus, we have the new birth. And we become born of God. That means we no longer are of this world. We become new creatures in Christ Jesus. So Jesus is speaking to his disciples who actually belong to God. Now the world can pray, but the citizens can get all the supplies. The sons of God can receive all the supplies. And Galatians tells us you're all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. So Jesus is assuming those he is talking to are children of God. And we enter by faith. Now there is this glorious chapter in Romans, Romans chapter 5 verse 1. Because unless you understand the miracle of the new birth, you can't be confident when you pray. Because the new birth makes you an entirely different person, a new person. And the new birth actually takes out your old DNA. I'm speaking about spiritual DNA. You used to be a sinner. Now you are a child of God. You are born of God. Just think about that. Through faith, you are born of God. God has given birth to you. Which means you have God's DNA. And if you've got God's DNA, God is righteous. And you have been made righteous by faith. What does righteous mean? Right with God through faith in Jesus Christ. Isn't that wonderful news? Not through works. People who go to certain kinds of churches, and I won't name names, go to church to try and please God. They do things because they think they should, and they think by their effort they're pleasing God. But the Bible is clear that only faith pleases God, and we can only be righteous by faith, not by works. And righteousness is a gift that comes through Jesus Christ. And it's not anything that you are in yourself. It's Christ in you that is your righteousness. Isn't that wonderful news? And Romans 5 verse 1 says this. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Since we have been justified. Justified means just as if we'd never sinned. You're not like the world anymore. God says, by faith, your faith in Jesus, you are just as if you'd never sinned. There is no record of sin in God's mind. It's wiped. Which is the power of the cross to deliver us from all our sin and make us righteous in his sight. By faith. If you don't believe this, you're not going to pray very well. Because you'll always feel less than good enough. Not quite good enough. But he has made you good enough. So when you pray justified. So righteous and justified, just as if you'd never sinned. Since then, we've been justified through faith. We have peace with God. We were enemies of God. We were aliens. We were outsiders. We had no rights. We weren't going to heaven. We had nothing good. But through faith in Jesus Christ, it's just as if we'd never sinned. Innocent. No record of sin. And we have peace. We're no longer enemies of God. We have peace with God through faith in Jesus Christ. Now this is really important because your nature is to be righteous. And therefore, it is in your nature to live a righteous life. Before you received Jesus, it was your nature to sin. You couldn't help sinning because it was in your nature. So you might try and put some boundaries around your life. In fact, a lot of social programs do a whole lot of good in dressing people up, feeding them, giving them nice homes. But actually, it's always their nature to sin. So if sin gets them in trouble, we can try and help them out of trouble. But the only way to see a permanent change is for people to come to Christ. Because only He makes people righteous by nature. It's your DNA to be righteous and live a life that pleases God, not sinning. If we mess up, we confess up. If we sin, you see, but the Bible is not actually giving us an excuse for sin because it says you're righteous, why are you sinning? But if you do, so it doesn't expect us to sin. Hallelujah. The Bible has, God has no expectation of you to live in sin. Because He has made you righteous. And so it says, if you mess up, you've got to confess it. 1 John 1:5-9. If we sin, we can confess our sins to God. What is confession? To say to the Lord, Lord, I am sorry. I've sinned in this particular way. And the blood of Jesus will cleanse us from all. Say all. All unrighteousness. So everything that you've done that is actually contrary to your nature, God will forgive you and cleanse you. But it's important that we see, as sons of God, through faith in Jesus, we are the righteous ones in the earth. We're right with God, guys. Don't you think that's amazing? Which gives you peace. And it's only through faith in Jesus Christ. Now, I mentioned a term at the beginning there. You're a citizen of heaven. A citizen is someone who belongs to a particular country, is usually born into that country, and has the rights of that country. You're a citizen of heaven. You were born into heaven. And you have the rights of that country. A citizen has rights. And a citizen of heaven has the rights of heaven. So all of heaven is available to a citizen or a son of God or a righteous man or woman of God. Through faith. Now, we all understand embassies, don't we? If there is a foreign embassy in this country, say the American embassy or a British embassy abroad, that embassy is actually belonging to the country from which it is called to be from. So, a citizen of America would come and live in the embassy, the American embassy, or a citizen of Britain would go and live, say, in France, in the British embassy. And that embassy would be completely different to the environment around them. It would live by different provision. It lives by a different diet. You know, the Australian embassy, I bet they have Vegemite. Because they ship in everything Australian in that embassy. You walk in and that whole climate and everything you see is reflecting Australia. And it's the same for a citizen of heaven. We're like living in an embassy in Christ on earth. We're a foreigner to the world, but we are the embassy. We're citizens of heaven in this place. And therefore, the supplies of the country we're from keep coming on in. We're just going to take another delivery through prayer. But all you've got to do is put in a request. And the country we're from will back up that request and say, hey, our guys in that foreign country need supplies. We've got a different healthcare service. In fact, the healthcare service of this kingdom or this embassy, and for every citizen, is good health all your life. And any time you get sick, you get healed. You don't have to pay for it. This citizen is actually under the protection of the country they're from. If God is for us, who can be against us? This citizen has every need supplied in terms of prosperity. The embassy can live in plenty, even if there is lack in the country they're in, because we don't live by the supply of the world. Heaven has become our supply. This embassy operates by different laws. The law of the world, and I'm not saying in terms of the law speeding. We all operate under the law of speeding and unrighteousness. We have to obey the authorities of the land around us. But we have different laws that govern us. The law of faith that supersedes whatever is going on in our life and brings victory. And so as a citizen of heaven, Jesus is saying, when you pray, it's completely different. Because you actually belong, and I will make sure I will back up what you're asking for according to my will. Remember, Jesus says, pray, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So you are a citizen by birth. Say to the person next to you, I'm not from here. I'm from heaven. Heaven is in me. I'm a citizen of heaven. Okay, the next point. This kingdom isn't a democracy. It's a sovereignty or a sovereign state. So in other words, this kingdom has a king. The world has no rulers, no kings. Everybody does whatever they feel. But this kingdom is a sovereignty. And so it's not actually down to our voting system. A democracy runs by votes. The kingdom of heaven runs by a king. And a king rules by commands or words. So the king rules this kingdom through his word. It operates on the word of the king. And our king is Jesus. And his word is the Bible. Unless you're thinking it might be somewhere else, it's in the Bible. The king's words. Oh, how precious that is to say. That really hit me. The king's words. I've got the king's words. Isn't that incredible? Sorry, I was just slightly hit by that. I've got the king. And this kingdom, actually, Daniel sees it, is an indestructible, ever-increasing, and will one day take over everything. It's actually a superior kingdom to every other reign. And this king is far superior in power, majesty, worth, than any other king. And we have his words. Because this is how the kingdom operates. Through the king's word. And kings, I don't know, we're kind of a little bit out of that way of thinking in our world. But kings don't operate by suggestion. In the right kind of mindset, and this king is a king of love, and everything he does is good, but he still issues commands. Because he is king of the citizens of heaven. In other words, he is your king, and he is my king. And his word rules over all. Just building a right foundation for prayer is that it's not a democracy. And if you think that there's something in you that fights what God says is true, then you're never really going to get into the power of the kingdom if you're fighting truth. Because the power of this kingdom operates through us agreeing with or yielding to truth, not opinion. It is with great sadness that a friend of ours today has been thrown out of leading a church by vote. And the church is never, never subject to vote. People's preference. It's God ordained, the calling of God. And so we are not a democracy. And God actually uses authority, leaders through whom he leads. There is an order in the church you won't find in the world. There's actually an obedience, because you have an obedient heart, to those in authority, even those you work for, because you understand we've come to serve, not be served. Because this kingdom is full of servants of the king and of his will for our nation. Not a vote, not an opinion, and if my mind fights truth, then I know which one's going to win. Truth. The word of God. The king says it, that's final. It's the final authority of everything that you think, pray, discuss. The word is the word of God. The word of our king. Now the wonderful thing about the word of God, when we ask and we agree with the word of God, it's backed by all the powers of heaven. God himself will back his word in your life. As soon as you believe on the foundation of the truth of God's word, God will back that with power. So the kingdom of heaven, Jesus was saying, it's running on prayer, or is everything that happens is through prayer. You can trace everything that God does through somebody praying. So if we don't pray, we don't see the kingdom advance, do we? If you don't pray for the people at work, you don't see the kingdom advance. If you don't pray for your faith group, it won't advance. If you don't pray for the church, come on, church, come on. If you don't pray for your leaders, don't pray for each other. Everything runs on prayer. I believe the Lord is speaking to us today. And it's run on the prayers of its citizens. That's me and you. Sons of God with heaven available. And it's based on the king's word. So let's just look at 1 John. In fact, I think I've got it written up, but 1 John 5, verse 14 to 15. You maybe can't see that, so I'll read it to you. This is what we're just going to look at about the prayer of the citizens based on the king's word. Now, this is the confidence we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we have asked of him. I'm going to say that again because it's phenomenal. This is the confidence we have in him. Remember, the confidence isn't based in ourselves. It's because of what Jesus has done. Our confidence is in our king. Is in the Lord. That if we, That's the if you pray, if. Hopefully it's when you pray. If we ask, remember, say it, speak it out. If we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we have asked of him. And I love this because this scripture is speaking about anything. It's, prayer can touch anything. So it's your little toe that's a little bit bothersome this morning. It's a nation in trial, like the Philippines. It's your family. It's your church. It's reaching the world. Prayer can go anywhere. We can go to China this morning in prayer. We can influence nations through prayer. We can go anywhere to relatives who aren't even here and pray. But the word of the king is of ultimate importance because it's according to the king's will. And so our confidence is, first of all, based on being righteous in his sight. We can be like Jesus when we pray, Father, not, oh, it's only me. I'm not much good, and I can't pray like everybody else. Children can pray and get amazing results. 80 or 8 years old, come on. If you ask anything according to his will, it's not that complicated. But the issue is we're praying according to the king's word. And God has a word in his grace and love for us. He has a word for every situation you're currently in or will ever face. So he has a personal word for you in here. Whatever you're facing, you can find God's answer on it. Whatever we're facing as a nation, there's a word on it. And the scripture says if we ask anything according to his will, we know he hears us. It's confident boldness. How do we know he hears us? I'm just emphasizing this point. How do we know he's listening? Not because we're praying about the trouble. How many of you know trouble isn't his will? So stop praying about the trouble. The trouble has probably happened. Pray his will, which is his answer. Many people pray about how they're feeling, what they're thinking about. They pray all around the houses about lots of different things. Then they say, amen. But if you would just find one thing that you see is his will in that troubled situation and pray it, you can know 100% that he's heard you. Because he hears when citizens agree with his will on earth. There are schools to change through prayer. It's really important, this message. Because it's time we got back to our roots of prayer. Because without prayer, there is nothing moving forward in God. And our confidence isn't based on the hours we pray or on the expertise we might show or the lack of them. You can sit there today and think, oh, I'm not very good at prayer. And it's true, you're not. Neither am I. But if I ask anything according to his will, he hears me. And I know I've got it. Because everyone who asks gets it. Everyone who asks according to his will gets it. Everyone who asks according to his will gets it. Everyone who asks according to the king's word gets it. This is our God, and God cannot lie. If he lied once, the whole world would crash into nothing. God is not a man that he should lie. And so he's given us his word on prayer. The citizens of heaven, that's us, can do this and know that we have whatever we ask in prayer. Do you know a perfect prayer? I don't know if you want to pray one. Is praying scripture. So you might not be good at prayer, but you can just get a scripture for your kids and pray it, and it's perfect. And, you know, often the reason Jesus gives us his spirit, because sometimes when you pray, you're reminded of a scripture, aren't you? You're reminded of something, and that's the spirit of truth, because truth needs a guide, the Holy Spirit in you. Other times you have to say it like this, Lord, I don't know what to pray, but could you please give me your word on it? Because I know if I've got your word on it, it's going to happen. It's absolutely 100% certain that it will happen. Daniel, you know, is a man of prayer. He turned nations. He brought the destiny of Israel back into the hand of God. He was an incredible man of prayer. And I believe in ordinary people turning around their communities through prayer. I believe this. Not just me and not just our prayer meetings, but wherever you are, you're setting up an embassy that not only supplies your own house, but it supplies everywhere around you. Because we're here to supply the kingdom to the world. Let your kingdom come, Lord. Let your will be done. Daniel, actually I won't just look in there. It's Daniel chapter 9. Daniel was praying, and he didn't really know what to pray, and I can see him like this, in a foreign country, because he was a citizen of heaven, in a foreign country like us. And he's saying, Lord, he's going through reading Jeremiah's prophecies. And he says, after 70 years, something's going to happen. And it says in Daniel 9, you can see, Daniel understood by the scriptures that it was time for God's will. So in other words, he's reading the Bible and he understood God's thoughts on it. God's will came to him. You will not understand how to pray by whatever you feel. You won't understand the world or anything about your life without the word of God. But Daniel understood because of the scriptures. And he started to pray. And I love this. God sent an angel. And we're going to talk about angels before Christmas. Another little relevant subject. It's always relevant. But Daniel had this angel show up and say, Daniel, from the moment you prayed, you were heard. And God answered. I want you to just take that in. From the moment you prayed, from the word of God, it was heard, and the answer started to come. So when do you think you'll be heard? When you pray according to the King's word. And an answer is started to be released. Now, sometimes it can take a while for that release, the kingdom of heaven, to filter through. Imagine living in the Philippines. There's aid trying to get through. And it sometimes takes time. But don't worry, help is on the way. When you pray, help is on the way. And God will make sure there'll be no shortage in your life. Until you see the answer, he'll supply for the delays as well as for the time when it actually comes. Because our God is a God who supplies all the things that we need in every season of life. So we have what we ask for as soon as we pray. Isn't it time to get prayer? Can I just make that suggestion to you? Isn't it time you raised your prayer level? Isn't it time we prayed more individually? This message is not just to hear. How you doing? How many of you are going to put this word into practice and pray more? Get your understanding from Scripture. Pray His will. The perfect prayer is His promise. He has promised. Every promise is yes and amen in Christ. Some people wonder around, why doesn't God do stuff in my life like He does in them? Well, maybe you just are not asking for supplies. It's time to ask, because you're all a citizen. We're all citizens of heaven and can receive supplies through our prayers. Now, I'm going to finish with this. Turn to John. John chapter. You see, prayer isn't a lucky dip. It's to be sure and certain. Because the certainty isn't based on the way we pray or the words we use. The certainty is based on making sure that you're praying with a promise from Scripture. And so it's not a lucky dip, it's a sure and certain. It's not like winning the lottery, occasionally you get one. Come on. It's not just that, I wonder if. It's a sure and certain land, the kingdom of heaven. And everything that God wants to do in your life will be prayed first. Everything He does in the earth is prayed first. So when you pray, say it. Say the word of God. Say what God says about the solution to that situation. John chapter 4. Now there's this dad. And, you know, I love it that parents can pray for kids who aren't even there. And often when we pray, we're the only ones there with the Lord when we pray. But we can pray for anyone. But this is a father who's desperate because their son, his son is sick and must have been very sick. It's not flu, by the way, because this guy's a royal official and he's a man of stature. But he realizes that even people who look together need to pray. There are times when things happen in life, and let me tell you, only prayer is going to change a situation that is going bad and turning it round for good. And that's why you need to be taught to pray right. I believe that this teaching will save lives. Because if you will apply this teaching, you will rescue lives. And you will see answers in your family. You'll save people from dying. We can turn a nation through prayer. We can change anything. Anything is changeable through bringing the kingdom of heaven in our prayers. So in John chapter 4, there's this man, he comes to Jesus, verse 46. Once more, he visited Canaan, Galilee, where he turned the water into wine. And there was a certain royal official whose son lay sick at Capernaum. When this man heard that Jesus had arrived in Galilee from Judea, he went to him and begged him to come and heal his son. He was close to death. And Jesus said, unless you people see miraculous signs and wonders, you'll never believe. Now, Jesus isn't being cruel here, because he never is. But he's trying to teach them some other secret about prayer. This man's come to Jesus to pray with a request. And Jesus actually says, you're looking for signs, but I am looking for faith before you see the miracle. Guys, it's so important you stop looking for feelings when you pray. Stop trying to feel the presence of God. Stop trying to feel whether you've got it or not. Faith actually says, I receive by faith, not feelings, not a sensation, but because I'm asking according to his will. Now this man comes to Jesus. Jesus says, unless you see kind of the manifestation, you won't believe. And this man says, begged Jesus, said, sir, come down before my child dies. So in other words, he didn't give up. He said, I am actually going to get an answer here. And there is this boldness that needs to take hold of your prayer life. I'm not going to give up. I'm going to get an answer with this. I am standing before you, Jesus, saying, Lord, this is what your word says. You have said in covenant with me as a citizen of heaven, this belongs to me. I am not going to give up. Love that. That's the kind of boldness you need. Not apologetic prayer. Bold. And he stands there and he says, sir, come down. Come on. Come on, God. I think it's slightly rude, but it's not. Come, Lord. It's time to heal him. And Jesus, in prayer, because remember this is a relationship with him, that's where it all happens, in prayer, said to the man, go your way, your son will live. He gave Jesus his promise. So the answer was the promise, not the miracle. The miracle was made visible as the man went. But the answer came as a word. And he believed the word Jesus said to him and went his way. Now, walk believing. The man believed the word of God. He believed the word of Jesus. And basically, if you walk after you've prayed according to his will, you believe you've received it, you walk by faith, and you will have it. The invisible will be manifest as you walk by faith in what you have received. Is that helpful? The man didn't feel his son had got healed. And let me tell you, the devil will work in the doubts. Because he who doubts does without. He doesn't want you to get supplies. So ask in faith, not doubting. In other words, saying, no, he said it, I believe it, that's it, thank you, Lord. Start thanking him. Walk, because as Pastor Andrea said earlier, thanksgiving is a sign of your faith. Citizens of heaven, there's no lack in the kingdom. This king wants to supply every good thing. You're not going to be able to do it without prayer. Jesus didn't do life without prayer. But if we ask anything according to his will, the word of the king, we know he hears us and we have what we ask for. Isn't that brilliant? Excellent. You are trained citizens of the kingdom and you know how to pray. Your understanding is going to come from scripture. Just stand and tell everybody around you, my understanding of what to pray is going to come from the word of God, the word of the king. If we ask anything, the world is responding with supplies to the Philippines. And it's good. It's good. But how many of you know that only heaven can heal people? Do we have any believers? Do you want to agree? Believers say yes, amen. You know, we are a vocal people. Scripture I mean, the Jews know this. We ought to learn, take a leaf out of their book. Amen. Amen. So be it. So be it. Let it be. And heaven can supply everything to the Philippians. Because heaven is not lacking. But it's the citizens of heaven who can pray. Remember, only citizens can pray like this. Because we've got the legal right before God, righteous people, to see the kingdom of heaven come. Now I asked the king this morning, what word is it that you want us to pray? I don't want to pray my own thinking. I want to pray what the king says. And I got this word, which is a brilliant word. Psalm 68, verse 5 and 6. Pray for God to come in to be the father to the fatherless, a defender of widows. God in his holy habitation. God, come and be a father to those who have lost parents. Come and go, Lord, and defend those who are on their own, widows and widowers, teenagers, children. And Lord, set the lonely or the solitary in homes or families. There are, Pastor Andrea told me earlier, let me just get, she got some details here. There are 1,000 people missing. There are over 3,500 people who've already been confirmed dead. There are 12,500 people injured. 2 million displaced. And the God wants to set 2 million. He wants to set 2 million through our prayers in families. Yes. And he wants to bring out those who are bound by poverty, lack, need, into prosperity. Our God can supply their need. Nothing is impossible for our King. And if we ask anything according to his will, we know that right here today, he's listening. And that means he's answering. And today he will hear our prayer for the Philippines. Let's break into twos and threes and start to pray according to his will together. And let's see the kingdom of heaven come and the will of God be done.